I don't know about you, but I hate going to the doctors. And I will put it off for as long as physically possible. But the problem is, right, if you're sick, they're the guys to help you out. And avoiding them only makes things worse, doesn't it? They can provide prescriptions, yeah? In a little bag like this, a little medication to help you, to bring relief to whatever you're suffering with. Or maybe to refer you to some kind of specialist to help you with your problem. But even though I know that a doctor can help me, I avoid it. I don't look for the relief that I need. And in our passage today, we're reminded again of how broken this world is. The world needs relief. Because in our Genesis series so far, we've seen God's good creation, haven't we? And what's happened? It's been ruined by sin. We've seen families torn apart and things going from bad to worse. And in our passage today, we see two really different paths, right? Two different ways we can respond to this broken world. We can say, look, I'm going to deal with it the best I can in my own way. We avoid relief. Like how I avoid going to the doctors when I really need to. Or we can follow the guy who said, look, I'm making all things new. I'm fixing it. King Jesus is the only doctor that can heal us from the sickness of sin. Now, we all have different reasons we avoid things. You know, maybe some of us feel like we've been dealt a bad set of cards in life. You know, we'd love life to be different, but you've just got to find your own way to survive. Jesus might seem good for some people, but you need to look after number one. Or even if we are following Jesus and we know, you know, eventually he's going to make things right, we still find it hard, don't we? Where is God's relief in this broken world right now? What are we meant to do this week when we have to face the brokenness of everyday life? Well, what we're going to hear about this morning is the hope that we can all have in Jesus. A hope that will never let you down. A hope that will help you to live life in this broken world. A hope that will one day be fulfilled in Jesus. You see, sin breaks our world, but Jesus will fix it. And that's going to help us right now, this morning, in our broken lives, in our broken communities. Sin breaks our world, but Jesus will fix it. And we're going to look at that in two parts. So let's look at the first bit, right? Let's look at that first bit. Sin breaks our world. And if you're following along in the Bible, we're going to focus first on chapter 4, verses 17 to 24 for that first bit. Sin breaks our world. You see, Cain, yeah, we're introduced straight away to him, aren't we? And Cain was one of Adam and Eve's sons, and he wasn't a good guy. If you were here last month, you would have heard about how he got angry and he killed his brother. You know, he's not a good guy, right? If this was a pantomime, you know, if you heard Cain's name, you'd be going, boo, hiss, every time he appears, yeah? And if you want, every time I say Cain, you can say, boo, hiss, you can shake your fist, I don't mind. Because when his name pops up here in this passage, we're meant to have that reaction. He's a baddie. We're meant to think, oh, something's not going well here. Something bad is going to happen. So just keep that in mind as we go through today's story. But before we do get to the drama, we do hear a bit of normal stuff, don't we? You see, Cain, you know, he gets married, he has kids, they settle and they build things. Cain builds a city and his kids make some big progress in the world. If you look at verse 20, Jabal was the first guy to look after all sorts of cattle. So not just sheep, yeah? You know, maybe some donkeys, maybe some camels. He kind of did new stuff in that area of life. People hadn't really done that before. And Cain's got another son who's called Jubal. He's the first guy to play the lyre and the flute. Imagine that. Imagine being the first person to ever play those musical instruments, to master them and teach people. This is how you do it. That's pretty cool, huh? And then Cain has another son, and he's called Tubal-Cain. And he makes all sorts of tools from bronze and iron. Would have been so useful. Maybe they're making, you know, farming tools or things to fix things. You know, that's really helpful, isn't it? Even though Cain, you know, boo, hiss. He's a really bad guy with a shady history. God is so kind to him and his family. They're able to grow and build things, aren't they? That's what we see straight away. But everything wasn't rosy. That's why we've got to have that in mind, that we know Cain is a bad guy. Everything wasn't rosy. You know, sometimes we might think that technology is going to fix the world. Oh, look, we've got this new thing and that new thing. We can solve this problem and that problem. But even though technology can make the world, you know, maybe a little bit better, it can't fix our broken world. Even way back here, we can see Cain's sons inventing all kinds of new things. But that new technology can't change people's hearts. And that's the big problem. And we see that straight away in verse 23. They've got all this new technology, but what's happened? Things haven't got better. Things have got worse. And we see that in these couple of verses about Lamech. You see, Lamech was Cain's great-great-great-grandson, okay? And Lamech is just like Cain. Boo, hiss. You know, he's going to be a baddie. Only somehow, he's even worse. You see, Lamech doesn't just kill someone and then, you know, try and hide it a little bit. Lamech kills a guy and he boasts about it. He says to his wives, if anyone tries to get back to me, they try and get back at me, do him worse. He's going to make it worse for them. Make sure those people get it even worse. That's what verse 24 means. If anyone tries to kill him because he killed this other guy, he's saying, make sure you kill that guy back. And you know what? Kill his family. And kill his extended family. That's really crazy, isn't it? That's really violent. Lamech was an evil guy who chose violence. Lamech shows us that this world in Genesis is getting worse since Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Cain's murdered his brother, and now Cain's family are killing other people and threatening to kill other people. They're taking things into their own hands instead of doing what's right. You see there, it says, you know, I killed a man for striking me. We don't know why this guy attacked Lamech and who did it first and all that kind of stuff, but that's not the point, right? He didn't have to choose anger and violence. He could have chose justice. But there are two different ways people respond to this broken world. There are two different ways. And Lamech is the first kind. He does whatever he wants to look after number one. Doesn't care about other people. Just does what he wants. Look, I don't think any of us think we're as bad as Lamech, right? And we might not ever seen it on such a big scale as Lamech. But if we look at him and think, oh, boo, hiss, yeah, he's a baddie. And then we just forget about it. We're missing the point of this passage in the Bible today. We're meant to look at him and see sin is a sickness in our world and in our lives. Sin breaks our world, and no advance in technology is going to help us to live happily ever after. It just doesn't happen. We've got all the technology in the world now. You know, on my phone, I have access to all the information that I could ever need, right? But that's not going to help me fix the problem of this broken world. Just as many wars, just as many diseases killing people and pandemics, just as much brokenness all around us. Technology hasn't completely fixed it, has it? It hasn't protected us completely from that. We need to recognize that sin breaks our world. That's the reason the world is broken. It's because of sin. We're stuck in a sin cycle of destruction. Disobeying our good creator, not loving him, and not loving other people. And that's important because if we're going to fix things, right? If we're going to find a solution, we need to recognize what's really wrong with the world, don't we? People often joke, don't they, about men asking for directions. I know I've done it before. We don't like doing it, right? We know we're lost, and we don't know where the next turning is, and Google Maps is sending us in all sorts of directions. But we don't want to admit we're lost. We don't want to ask for help. And hopefully, maybe our wife or someone, you know, rolls down the window and asks someone for help so we're not lost forever, right? But even if you're younger, you know, you might have coursework to do at college or maybe homework, and you're finding it really hard, right? And you know, you could ask mom or dad to help you out, you know, just to explain the question. Be like, no, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to do it by myself. And it ends up taking ages and ages. Because you avoid asking for help. You avoid looking for the relief that you need. Those are kind of funny examples, but we do it in the important things, don't we? We do it in the really important things. If we're going to ever find hope, we need to recognise that sin breaks our world. And doing our own thing is not going to save us. It's not going to help us. It just leads us into more sin and more problems. We need to stop avoiding Jesus. He's the one who can bring us relief. And we saw that with Lamech, didn't we? He had the choice. He could seek God for relief or he could do his own thing. And he did his own thing. He knew what it was like to live in a broken world. And he made that choice. He said, I'm going to choose power and pride and control. And even though I'm sure many of us, you know, maybe we won't ever sin like Lamech did. All right, maybe we won't. But Lamech is a lesson. You know, maybe some of us are choosing pride as well in our lives. Maybe we're acting like Lamech in a smaller, but maybe more respectable way. What do I mean? Well, so we can all pretend to appear strong, can't we, when times are hard. We don't want to ask for help. Especially if you're a Christian, you know, you might feel like you have to appear like everything is sorted. And sometimes that's pride. It's pride keeping us from humbly coming to God for help. That pride is keeping you from coming to God for help and from God's people that God's given you to help you. And when times are hard, you might be thinking, oh, you know what, why is no one helping me? Why is this so hard? But when you do have the chance to let people into your life that God's given you, you don't open up, you don't let them help you with their struggles. You try and stay strong and keep it all to yourself. There are two ways to respond to this broken world. We can do our own thing, or we can look to Jesus and the help and the comfort he gives us in difficult times. Maybe other people are struggling with being really angry. Not in a good and godly way, but I mean your anger has become like Lamech's. You just want to take justice in your own hands. You want to be the boss. Someone hurt you, you're going to make them hurt. You see it in the playground, you see it in the workplace, you see it everywhere, right? Sometimes, you know, people have hurt us or our family really badly. And you can't help but just wish the worst on them. You can't help but hate them in your heart. You can't forgive them, and that anger is just eating away at you. You're just boiling. But the more you feed that anger, the more you let bitterness and anger just consume you, eat you up, the further you are away from finding the true justice and peace that you really want. Sin leads us away from God like that. But in our suffering, we don't have to do that. We can choose to look to Jesus, who is going to give us justice and relief from the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of our hearts. But if we're going to find that relief, we need to recognize that sin breaks our world and we need to look for help. Sin breaks our world, but Jesus will fix it. And that's the second bit of the thing we're looking at today, isn't it? Sin breaks our world, but Jesus will fix it. And we're going to focus on verse 25 of chapter 4 all the way through to the end of chapter 5, if you're following along in a Bible. See, our first bit started with Cain and his wife having a baby, didn't it? But this second bit starts with Adam and Eve having another baby called Seth. And it's written like that on purpose so we compare the two families, the two really different families. We looked at Cain, boo, hiss, it's a baddie. He was a bad guy, and his family are kind of really similar, they're just like him. They choose a path that leads away from God. But now we look at Seth, he's an alright guy. And his family, they choose a path that leads to God. They start to look for help, to look for hope from God in their brokenness. God is so kind to Adam and Eve and he gives them another son. You see that with Seth, don't you? It must have been horrible. They've lost Abel and Cain has killed them. Imagine that. But God gives them another son in place of Abel. God gives them Seth. And Seth's family, like I said, completely different to Cain. Boo, hiss. We see that straight away in verse 26. Seth's son is called Enosh. And that's when people begin to call on the name of the Lord. That's a really good thing. That's the first time since God's good creation was ruined by sin that we see people doing that. It's a really good thing. People are calling to God for help. They're looking to God for help. And then what do we get? We get a long list of names, don't we? We get a long list of names. It's the family record of Adam's family. But it focuses on a bit of Adam's family. It focuses on Adam's son Seth and Seth's children and Seth's children's children. Maybe you've done one of those family tree things online, you know, searching your heritage. Maybe in school, maybe you're doing your little family tree and you know, you're including your grandparents, maybe your mom and your dad and stuff like that. But this one seems to go on and on, doesn't it? It's really long. And we see as well, not only is it really long, but Adam and Seth and Seth's children, they live a really long time, longer than we do today. We know that sin breaks our world, and it seems that as sin spreads and God's creation suffers and decays, people live shorter and shorter lives. I don't know if you saw that, you know, as you went through, that they're living shorter and shorter lives. They live so and so many years, and then they died. They live so and so many years, a bit less, and then they died. It's a bit sad, isn't it? Even though this family, they seem much nicer than Cain's, the Bible reminds us time and time again, they all die. Adam lived, and then he died. Seth lived, and then he died. Enosh lived, and then he died. It goes on and on, reminding us that sin breaks our world. We're living under sin's curse. We saw that earlier on in Genesis. They can't even grow things from the ground without hard work and trouble. Now, it might be hard for us. Maybe we're not really green-fingered like some of us. I know some people in the church are green-fingered, but not all of us suffer in that way, do we? We've got supermarkets. You walk in and there's loads of food there. But if you work anywhere, you know, in a supermarket or a sandwich shop, I can tell you that work's still hard, isn't it? Work's not easy. We have new technology. We might do different things. But work's still really hard. Work is hard because of sin. And then the only person we see who doesn't die in this list is Adam's son. One of Adam's sons, descendants. He's a guy called Enoch, isn't he? In verse 22, have a look there. Enoch walked with God. That's the Bible's way of saying Enoch followed God faithfully. Enoch listened to what God said. He trusted God and lived God's way. Enoch had to live in this broken world just like us. He married and had kids. But after some time, God did something special with Enoch. And he's only done this with a few people in the Bible. God took him straight up to heaven. Wow. He didn't die. And I know that's pretty cool and probably thinking that's the best way to go, isn't it? But let's not miss the point. The point is, people are calling on the name of the Lord. People are walking with God. In their brokenness, living in a broken world, they're turning to God for help. And then we get right to the end of chapter 5 and it ends with another Lamech. And it's getting better and better, isn't it? But don't get confused, right? This isn't Cain, you know, it's not his great-great-great-grandson. This is another Lamech. There's two Lamechs here in our passage today. Maybe you've never heard the name Lamech before. Now you know two guys called Lamech, all right? Two different guys. And this Lamech couldn't be any more different from the bad Lamech. This Lamech has a son called Noah. Right, and his son Noah, it says, is going to bring relief from the curse of the ground that makes work so hard. And if you read on in the story of Genesis, Noah plants a vineyard. He starts growing and harvesting of grapes and he makes wine. Even though the ground is hard to work at, Noah brings relief. He's able to bring fruit from the ground. It's progress, isn't it? It's a positive thing. Now, I'm sure if you're old enough, you might like to enjoy a glass of wine after a hard day, yeah, or a hard week. It's a good thing. It's temporary relief. It's a bit of comfort. But at the end of the day, you still have to go back to work or to waiting on your asylum case, right? You still have to go back to the brokenness of this world. You get a bit of temporary relief, but the wine isn't going to fix anything, is it? And that's like Noah, you know, it's a good thing that Noah provided a temporary relief that the people then were able to grow grapes and things like that. But it's not enough. And Genesis is written like this on purpose. It leaves you feeling a bit like, oh, that's good. That's a bit of relief, yeah, but Don't we need something more? You see, way back in chapter 3, we had a really important promise that should lodge in our minds, get us thinking about looking for something more. And we're going to look at that verse later in our memory verse. Ian's going to show it to us and remind us of it. See, in that verse, God promises Eve that someone in her family is going to defeat the devil. He's going to get hurt in the process, but he's going to defeat the devil once and for all. The devil who helped cause all this mess in the first place. So whenever we get these family records of Adam and Seth's sons and others like them, they happen a fair bit in Genesis. It can be a bit confusing. Why all these names? Why do I need to know all these names? It's because we're meant to be thinking, could this be Eve's descendant who is going to bring relief? Who is going to fix this broken world? That's what we're meant to be looking for. Could this be the one that God promised? We're presented with Noah, and the answer is no. Noah brings temporary relief. It is relief, but he's not that one. And it's written like that so that Noah points us to someone even greater. An even greater man who can actually help us and fix this broken world. Not just temporary relief. It was good what Noah did. But lasting relief from the brokenness of this world. And that person is the Lord Jesus. He was the descendant of Noah. He is related, if you go all the way back, to Eve. The descendant of Noah, the descendant of Seth, the descendant of Adam and Eve. He's the one God promised to Eve that would defeat the devil. And he's not temporary. Even if I do, you know, just stop messing around, Sam. Go to the doctors, get your medication, right? Even if I do go and get my prescription, it's only temporary, isn't it? It's to help me just live with things. It might help me feel better. But my body is still broken. It's still not going to live forever. Jesus isn't temporary like that. Jesus is so much better. Jesus came and rescued the universe from death and destruction once and for all. Jesus came to free us from sin's curse and make all things new, to give us relief from the world's brokenness, a relief that lasts. But will we turn to him? Or are we going to avoid Jesus like I avoid going to the doctors? There's all kinds of things that we can look to for relief, you know, security and comfort, wealth, family, possessions, escapism through video games or hobbies and traveling. There's so many things that could provide us temporary relief like Noah, but they can't heal your brokenness. God might feel really distant to you right now when you're suffering and you're living in a broken world. So how is Jesus going to help? It's a normal thing to think. But even when we feel like God is far away, we need to look at what Jesus has done. Coming up to the Christmas period, aren't we? And we're reminded that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to us first. He came to experience our suffering and even took our suffering on himself. He could see we're not innocent. We do whatever we like Lamech in other small ways, don't we? We choose the wrong path. We hurt people, we dishonor God, and we think nothing of it. But Jesus chose to be broken for us. He chose to be broken on the cross to heal our brokenness. He chose to become a curse on the cross to free us from sin's curse. There's an old hymn that I love. We sing it at Christmas. And one of its verses says, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found." That's what Jesus does. He took the punishment we deserve and redeemed the whole universe. All of broken creation under the power of darkness and decay is redeemed at the cross. The devil is crushed and defeated. And when Jesus came back to life from the grave, he was crowned in glory and power as the rightful ruler of the universe. The power of sin is broken. And now we're just in this in-between space. We've just got to wait a little bit longer, haven't we? Later on in the Bible, it says in Romans chapter 8 that along with all of creation, we're longing, we're waiting for God, for Jesus to return again, for this cursed land and our broken bodies to be renewed. He's promised it. He's paid for it. He's secured it. But we've got to wait for the delivery. It's only a few stops away. And on that day, even though we don't deserve it, we will be completely free from the consequences, the result, the thing that happens because of our sin, the suffering and pain of this world, and the judgment that we deserve. So this week, you know, when you're driving and someone completely cuts you up, or you see someone completely cuts up mum and dad, you say, oh, that's not very nice, is it? Instead of letting your road rage eat you up, let your heart long for Jesus and for his new creation, free from brokenness, free from people's selfish actions. When people in school are mean to you, when they leave you out of games or call you names, don't be mean back to them. But remember, you know what? Jesus went through that and worse, so that you could be friends with God, so that you could be with him forever, where nobody's going to hurt you or leave you out. When people ask you, why are you a Christian? Maybe you were a different religion before. Why are you a Christian? They start interrogating you for following Jesus, maybe even treating you badly. Don't hate them in your heart. But remember, Jesus took your shame on the cross so that one day you're going to be honored as God's faithful servant. We know sin breaks our world, so let's not go down that path that's so easy to follow. But let's look to Jesus. He's the only one who will fix it. He's the only one who will never leave us to suffer alone. Right now, if we're following Jesus, he's given us his Spirit to guide us. He's teaching us by his Spirit. His Spirit is with us as we live in this broken world. And if you don't know that hope and comfort, don't keep avoiding the doctor. Come to Jesus for relief that really lasts. Amen.